All right, we're recording. Vegan Hacks Pod. You've been to the, you've got to the right place, I think.
Or and you've taken a wrong turn and ended up in Palookaville.
So how do you want to start this?
I don't know, man. It's your show. I'm just here to make snide comments.
Okay, I tried the new Beyond Meat.
Yes. Oh, the thing we've been waiting for? The light version that's 4.0?
Yes, I reviewed it too. People are mad at me.
Well, you know, you're a contentious figure and it's natural for people to be mad at you. So what's the verdict? How's 4.0?
It's not good.
Is it okay, but is it better or worse?
What do you mean better than what?
You know what I'm asking. Is it better than 3.0?
It's not the same product.
It's a completely different substance of protein.
Okay, so they decided to make it healthier. Yes. Okay, first of all, they're using this term made with 100% avocado oil.
Oh, as opposed to what, like other olive oil or whatever oils they put in?
Well, they were using canola oil and coconut oil. However, I don't know, I was getting some comments about avocado oil, and I guess the FDA has no enforceable standards. Saying something 100% avocado oil may not be 100%
accurate. I smell a lawsuit. Unless it, in fact, is 100% avocado oil. How do you oil an avocado? How do you squeeze the oil out of that delicious, lipidy fruit? You squish it?
Yeah, you squish it. That's exactly right.
How do you squeeze the oil out? The oil seems so ingrained in it. You know, like you could squeeze an olive. This is just me being ignorant. You could squeeze an olive and it's very clear like how the oil will come out. An avocado, it just seems like it would get mushy. And how do you extract?
I'm going to get you an avocado.
And I'm gonna have you squish it. You didn't answer, like, I know it's a slightly different product, but it's still some approximation of a burger. Is it worse than the previous Beyond Burger?
Like a different brand. It's not Beyond Meat. Okay, it's not a hamburger.
It's not they should call it.
They should call it a greasy turkey burger.
Oh.
That's what they should call
it. No,
but
look, you have compared like two different brands of hamburgers and you've decided which one you prefer. So I'm asking you, like, which one do you prefer? The previous Beyond Burger? I know you don't like either of them.
I would rather have the Beyond Burger. The previous Beyond Burger. Okay, first of all,
are they discontinuing the previous Beyond Burger?
I don't think so. I mean, it would be foolhardy because it's a totally different product. It doesn't suck per se. I mean, I gave it a 5 out of 10. I feel like calling it Beyond Beef is inaccurate because it's not like beef. It's like a lean turkey burger or something.
Oh. So do you think if I were to try it, I'd be like, it's fine, it's great. What are you talking about?
I'd like to see you try it. I would like to give you some of the meat and see how you cook it. First of all, out of the package, it's this very, very sticky sludge. Ew. That sticks to everything. It's stuck to the cutting board. It's stuck to my fingers. I kept on washing my hands. And then what I did was I put down some parchment paper. And then I was able to form a patty. And then I was able to take the parchment paper and then put another piece of parchment paper over it to make sure that it was, you know, stable and compressed.
It
still felt like it was going to fall apart. It didn't seem like it was ready for prime time structurally.
Does it feel as though we vegans are kind of like the guinea pigs in this like ongoing chemistry experiment where they just like keep providing us newer and newer forms of goop, and we're like pigs to the trough, like thinking like how, like, do we like this new goop or the previous goop? Give me a new goop, invent a new goop, design more goop for us.
A lot of these manufacturers do slightly tweak their recipes. This recipe is not ready for the market, and all of these chefs are coming at me like, why didn't you put liquid smoke and steak sauce?
What?
In it?
Oh,
and
come on.
I'm like, I mean, dude,
you're
just
testing the product in its intrinsic form, in its like natural form.
And then some other one, well, I usually season, I'm a chef and I season everything. And I'm like, I'm trying to to review this product and taste the product for what it is. Because how many people are going to put liquid smoke and all these other seasonings in their meat that they buy off the shelf? Not only that, it's $2 more than the original Beyond Meat. Another thing, one thing I learned when I was at the Expo West was a lot of the people that work for these companies do see my videos. You know, they, you know, because I mean, I guess I strike a nerve or something. You know?
We've got the troll of the vegan food industry, I mean, right here.
I don't know.
Ready to throw an elbow, ready to poke the bear.
Some of them are fans, you know, maybe yeah. Some of them. I mean, I also think that it's very difficult for like someone, let's say, who works at Beyond or someone who works at Impossible, even though there are people, I mean, someone at Impossible at the booth came up to me and like knew all my content and was, you know, was a follower. These are very buttoned down corporate situations. These are very corporate people.
Sure. For any products to reach national scale, there is a sort of corporate culture and something to, you know.
I mean, I don't know. So there's a lot of vegan companies that get their products, you know, distributed naturally nationally
You're talking about are those cool people at Upton's?
I'm just saying there are people that have national products that and their businesses actually show a profit.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. I'll give you an example of the corporate system, okay? So I'm at the Impossible booth at Expo West. Expo West is this big convention where they roll out a lot of vegan products. They roll out a lot of, you know, new products that are going to come out. They show them to the public. They show them to influencers like myself. They show them to these buyers from supermarkets. They show them to buyers for restaurants. So it's just sort of a dog and pony show.
Is Expo West only vegan?
No,
I didn't think so.
It used to be much more vegan, but there was a lot of animal products this year. Also, again, on a side note, it was I guess it's a low tide right now when it comes to veganism and vegan products. And it seemed like a lot of the larger businesses were scaling back.
The bubble popped?
I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of investors, a lot of people that put money into these things or put money into brand new items, maybe it's about survival now. But Impossible did the opposite. They were big. They were bold. It was like, look at us.
Rush.
And this was Impossible's very first Expo West. They have never been there before.
They had to go large.
They definitely
make a statement.
They definitely went large with like food trucks that were pumping out samples. But anyway, I was going to give you an example of the corporate structure of Impossible. So I'm there and Peter McGinnis is there. The
big
CEO's there. In fact, I took a video of him, posted him on my Insta feed, and then someone commented, "He's so hot."
He's not a bad looking guy.
Well, I guess he,
he's got a certain ruggedness about
him. He strikes, honestly, I did get a picture with him. So I did kind of, and I said to him, "Oh yeah, you know, big fan of your products and." Have you tried the sausage? The sausage is really good. He's doing like this glad handing, you know, president of the United States.
And what they do.
And the scale of what he's doing, making Impossible a bigger brand, they were sampling their hot dogs, which were okay, real kind of disappointing. They were sampling also their spicy chicken. They made that really nice chicken waffle thing, and the chicken was really good. And their indulgent burger, which was in slider form. And I only tried the samples. The jury's still out on the indulgent burger taste-wise. I think something's going on with some of the new Impossible products. Maybe there's different people involved in the construction of taste.
The food science?
Yeah, or it's such a corporate system that there's so many people involved in taste. Maybe it's flavor by committee.
We recently talked to the Upton's founder, and he was talking about having a food scientist from Kraft or something, and how different they do things. You know, these big conglomerates do things from the smaller companies. You remember this?
Yeah.
He was talking about how it's like they'll spend like 3 years and come up with something like totally bland, and it was like, what did you do this whole time? Like, what, we don't understand how this time was invested and the product that you came up with. It's like, it's not as good as something somebody could have maybe like whipped up in a day. I know like supply chain makes a big difference when you're in these huge scale global brands. So maybe part of the food science of it is making it both like yummy enough, but also economical. And also I think there's that sort of like Bud Light factor where, you know, nobody's favorite beer is Budweiser. It's more like inoffensive. So you're looking for something bland enough and tolerable enough that you can not necessarily appeal to the greatest number of people, but just avoid turning off the greatest number of people. So they're like, oh, it's in, like people like me, it's in front of me, I'll eat it. Okay.
Flavor by committee.
It's like when there's a million studio executives giving notes on a movie, and then you end up with like the most generic, forgettable movie because there's really like no, it's just no vision behind it.
When it's a small organization, they can be nimble and, you know, create certain things. I mean, it's a little different like with something with Impossible, because I feel that the tech and the product itself was pretty revolutionary and still is. The original mm-hmm. Impossible meat is actually quite good and is actually good food tech.
I know meat eaters who prefer it over an actual hamburger.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah, and anyway, so the other situation is like I'm at Impossible and I'm thinking, okay, are they going to know that, you know, the things I've said about Peter McGinnis, and I'm like kind of walking around a little like sheepishly, you know, moving around, whatever. And I started talking to one of the taste people. Like one of the main people that
Food scientists?
Yeah, one of the main food scientists. So I started asking him questions about, you know, the taste of things. Like, oh, were you responsible for for this? Or were you responsible for the indulgent burger? You know, how long have you been working with the company? And he said, like 9 months. Okay, so now what are the... And so he started saying some really interesting things. But I kept on asking him more and more questions. He started getting really nervous. And he started like, oh, well, I can't really tell you anything anymore. Let me take you over here. And he took me to the PR spokesperson. and so that's the corporate system too, where you have these people kind of living in fear.
Loose lips sink ships.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's, you know, and you see that too with some of these other larger entities where they may be very talented, really, really, you know, bright people, but they're not responsible for all the choices. I feel like when I make a review of, let's say, this Beyond Meat, you know, maybe I have a change, you know, I can make some change in the recipe. I don't know. Maybe I have a voice where they'll fix some of the things. I mean, because it's hard, like you open it up and it looks like a bunch of refried beans in the container, you pull it out and it's nearly unmanageable unless you have a strategy. Now,
unless you add liquid smoke.
Well, no, that's flavor. That's the other side. Okay. So, but I'm just talking about even just getting it into a patty form. And then also calling it beef when it doesn't really taste like beef. The other situation too, which is very interesting, is we talked about how Impossible came out with their beef light, but it's still a burger. It still looks like a burger. It still, you know, has a burger structure. This one has a totally different structure. It's much more fine, more
not a burger, it's a burger paste.
It's a very it's honestly, it's that pate. From the last episode, the chum, the hot dog chum.
I want to try it. I'm sure I'll think it's fine.
Well, I have some of it. So yes, maybe the next time we get together, I'll make a burger. Look, for you.
There has been a large backlog of all your foods that I'm supposed to have eaten by now. and I don't appreciate it one bit.
Oh my God, I have so many samples for you.
I'm sure some of it has gone bad by now. There should be like a whole freezer full of stuff that you don't want.
Oh, not even go bad. I mean, there's like chips and all sorts of things. I'll put a bag together and give it to you. You got a lot of
crap. But an urchin. You have to feed the urchin.
Let's to put a bow on the desperation that's going on in the the vegan food space. There's this company, Meaty. How come they always
mushroomies?
Yeah, they make something that I feel like is
mycelium.
Quite interesting. It's called mycelium root. And in fact, at Expo
Didn't
West,
you try it once. Didn't you give me one?
I've tried it many times. I
thought it was pretty good.
No, you tried Nature's Find.
Oh, okay.
But Meaty is mycelium root. They make a meat patty, and they call it a cutlet. And they also make a fried chicken thing. But that fried chicken one, you know, to me is acceptable. The meat has like a textural issue that does not jibe with me.
Well, it's hard to make mushroom roots feel like the texture of a meat product, right?
The co-founder is this guy named Tyler Huggins, and he was the CEO. And last year at Expo West, they spent $1 million promoting Meaty. They had two food trucks pumping out samples on both sides of the campus. They had, I think, two booths at least, where they were sampling lots of Meaty. They had a lot of people talking it up. They were connected with like David Chang, important chefs. They were really pushing out the product out. They had like major signage. They were there. It was like a major experience.
12 months of cash burn later.
Okay. So this year, I'm like, what happened to Meaty? They were on the catalog. And then I looked over and I saw there was signage like in the stairs. And it was Meaty. So they actually bought like signage that was like, you know how they put like little posters up on the stairs.
Meaty's gone petite.
And I went to the location of the Meaty space and no one was there.
There was a void.
And I asked next door, it's kind of Power Water, functional water company, do you know where Meaty is? They said they're supposed to be here. And he's like, you're the 20th person to ask us. So obvious. And then I spent another 25, 30 minutes looking for Meaty other places. Like I asked someone and maybe they moved and stuff like that. I didn't find them.
Did you email them just for fun to see what their like PR spin would be on this?
The original CEO has been replaced by a Patagonia executive, Phil Graves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut 13% of their workforce.
The ones who are going to go to the convention.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Maybe. And I guess they're financially in not the best place. I mean, allegedly. And the other thing that's not related to the Expo West situation or the new CEO or maybe not even reality, who knows? But there's a Reddit thread of many, many people like a couple months ago of people that got sick eating Meaty.
Uh-oh, a little QC issue, or is it just the product?
I sent it to you.
Yeah.
Don't you remember?
I remember.
It was like people, they were like throwing up and stuff. And oh. I have no idea if this is related or if it's, some kind of...
Did this get any coverage or nobody picked up on this Reddit, Fred?
What are we going to do?
Well,
like, I mean,
back in the day when people had all this, like, no, I'm not saying you should do it. You're like, you know, when they had that like E. coli outbreak at Chipotle, it was like a national story. But Meaty sickening people is like nobody cares. What?
I don't know. It's a cutting edge protein. I don't know. It's that vegan story.
Cutting edge stuff is hard to get people to adopt. I don't know what to tell you.
What really was interesting about the thread were people that would like, they'd eat it, get sick,
And try it again.
And then try it again, get sick. And then try it again, it gets sick. I was like, what? What? See what happens? Like, you tried it three times?
Fool me once.
So I tried it the fifth time, and I was doubled over. I mean, the thing was...
I was in the ER, because I was sure the first one was just because I made an error in preparing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good read. Go on Reddit, and, you know, it's a good read to see.
Let's look at it.
Stories about people. Oh, you want to see it?
Yeah,
you want to? Okay.
I'm going to look it up. Look it up.
Okay.
Reddit meaty. Got sick for the third time last night. I know I should have stopped after the first two, but I really wanted to believe it was something else. First time with the steak was the worst. Vomiting and diarrhea for hours. I thought I had a stomach virus. Second time with breaded fillets, just major discomfort and a knotted up stomach. I thought I'd just gone to yoga too soon after eating and was having trouble digesting. It's like denial. Like, nobody wants to believe, you know, that it's the meaty.
That's a plant. That's a plant. They went to yoga too.
I don't know. Another person
Come
wrote,
on.
An hour or so later, I'm on the floor of the bathroom, violently and violently is bolded, ill. My stomach wasn't going to be happy until it was completely empty. I blamed the Just Egg since it was a little old, but I've played fast and loose with its expiration date before. Oh, because they had the meaty with Just Egg.
That's another plant. They're bringing in the Just Egg. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is too many. There's too many perfect details there. Go ahead.
Oh, see, some people are like, I've had it before. It was fine. I've had it several times. But today I had the steak and I'm between puke sessions with a very knotted stomach and nausea. So they must have had like some bad batches. And who knows? Maybe they're getting sued right and left. And that's why they're running out of money. Who knows?
You don't know. But my thing is I like and support mycelium protein. And I think it's an important thing. And I don't want to be part of the noise that demotes it. I don't know.
You want to let them keep sickening people?
I mean, they keep on trying it. I tried it a few times. I didn't like it. And I posted that I wasn't a fan of the texture. And just moved on. Never bought the product.
Okay.
What I did No, it's interesting. At Expo West, what I did was I tried it every day. I didn't get sick. I mean, maybe there was a situation in the factory recently too, because maybe it had to do with the production or who knows. People were talking. There was conjecture too. Are there any other?
I closed it. I was like, we get the idea.
You get the idea, yeah.
I think you had like too much. I think you enjoyed too much glee from hearing stories of people vomit and like poo themselves. I was like, no, we got to cut this off.
I mean, I have a food channel, so I mean, we just let the disgusting stories for the podcast. That's the more important place for it.